Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 5th chapter. And just briefly, before we get into our gospel reading today, Jesus has just come back across the Sea of Galilee. Last week, if you were in worship, you got to hear about the trip over. But what you didn't get to hear was where he went. And he ends up on this place where really he was kind of forbidden to go as someone from his culture. The place he goes is a place where religious law would say it was very unclean for him to be there. And he shows up and he heals somebody, and then he passes back over the Sea of Galilee back to his home. But at that time, they believed if you touched something that was unclean or were in an unclean place, it kind of passed on to you. You became unclean, almost like a contagion. So as Jesus passes back over, he should do some ritual cleansing to become clean and well. Otherwise, he'll pass it on to others. We don't know if he did that or didn't. But either way, when he gets back to the shore, there's this huge crowd of people that comes around him. And we are going to see in our gospel reading today him cross over some more barriers that we set up between people. So let's read. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. Now try to hang on to that urgency that Jairus is feeling, for his daughter needs to be healed now. Jesus goes, but here's what happens. And a large crowd followed Jesus and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who'd been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child's not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So as we just read, Jesus raises a girl from death to life. But at first, it seems like it's too late. When Jairus hears the news that his daughter has died, that there's no point in Jesus coming, he may silently be wondering a question that many of us may have wondered. Why didn't you do more, Jesus? Why couldn't you have done more sooner? Could you not have prevented this sad thing from happening? We also read that Jesus heals a woman suffering from a chronic illness for 12 years, and healing comes, but it seems to take so long to get there. I don't know about you, but I have this longing for healing to come wherever there's illness, for death to not be real, especially when it happens to people far too young. And while we have modern medicine now that does, God works through to do amazing healing, to heal things that couldn't be healed decades ago, there are times when we still may wonder, why didn't you do more, Jesus? Why didn't you act sooner, God? These are real questions with which we wrestle. When Jesus walked this earth, he gave us a sign, especially in our gospel readings today, a sign of what God wants, of the kind of life Jesus initiates. What God wants is life and wholeness and saving grace. Jesus starts that, but it's not yet brought to completion. We live in this in-between time where we're promised that Jesus has destroyed the power of death, but as long as we live on this earth, death is very real. Until that day when he comes to walk this earth with us again and bring about God's new creation and all that is good and whole and made well. Now, if we go back to our gospel reading, we have a girl brought to life, a woman healed. And when these two stories get linked together, they also reveal something more than life and healing. They're also about who Jesus heals, about who Jesus is for. So we read that the gospel reading starts with Jesus coming back over the sea to his home country, and he steps on the shore, and all these crowds of people close in around him. Pushing through the crowd comes a religious leader, Jairus. Now that's pretty interesting, because at this point in the gospel, many of the religious leaders are now plotting against Jesus. They don't like the kinds of things Jesus is doing. But Jairus is desperate. And so the synagogue leader in front of the whole crowd drops to his knees and begs Jesus to heal his daughter who's dying. So Jesus agrees to go, and they go, but along the way, they get stalled. As we read, they're held up by this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. She's suffered some kind of chronic illness, seen many doctors, paid a ton of money, and just keeps getting worse. And that, too, may seem all too familiar for some of you, either your own experience or you know someone who's been through that. You go through all kinds of tests to get answers. You've seen the doctors and the specialists and still gotten no diagnosis or no healing. Some of you know that kind of anguish in a very deep way. That's where this woman is. But on top of that, in her time and culture, there were religious laws, systems that people put in place that say because she has this bleeding condition, she needs to be completely isolated for 12 years. She's forbidden from even being in that crowd in the first place. She should not be there. She's been considered untouchable, religiously unclean. And so for 12 years, she's not been allowed to be with other people, and there's rules and regulations people put in place that mean she can't even receive the smallest human touch. She's forbidden to be in the synagogue, the place of worship, and to be in the center of her community. And now Jesus stops for her. He halts his urgent trip to the synagogue leader's home so he can heal this woman who wasn't even good enough to be in the synagogue. She reaches out, touches his cloak. He feels the power go out, and he calls her out. She can't remain hidden. She has to come forward and speak the whole truth of who she is, of what she's experienced while this community turned a blind eye. And I wonder, what do you think she shared that day? What's the whole truth that she told in front of that crowd? What's that whole truth that Jairus had to listen to? We don't know for sure, but I would guess she shared her anguish not only at being ill, but at being refused community, at being seen as broken, as being seen as the disease itself. And Jairus, in his urgency for his own daughter to be healed, he has to wait. As a synagogue leader, he would have enforced the laws that kept this hurting woman out of the synagogue. He would have enforced the rules that kept her isolated. So as he fears for his own daughter, he has to hear Jesus call this outcast woman, daughter, affirm her faith, and he hears Jesus send her in peace. And we know Jairus gets this heart-wrenching news that his daughter's died, but Jesus is going to work beyond death to create life for her. Now, Debbie Thomas writes, I hope that when Jairus embraces his resurrected daughter, he also embraces a new vision of who God is and what God values. In the bleeding woman's story, Jesus demands that legalism gives way to love every single time. In each of these stories, Jesus embraces what is considered not good, in this case, the woman or the dead body. He embraces what was considered not good to extend mercy, because that's who Jesus is. As soon as we Christians create a line between who is in and who is out, between us and them, with us being the welcomed ones, the less sinful ones, the right ones, as soon as we create those lines between us and them, Jesus crosses over to the other side. He crosses over to stand alongside and extend mercy with them, with the ones seen as more wrong or less welcomed. If you read through the Gospels, you can see it happen again and again and again. And I wonder, when will we as Christians get it? That Jesus cares more about extending compassion and mercy than all the religious rules we can create. Because those religious rules, they can never transform life. Only grace and mercy and compassion can do that. In our gospel reading today, the rules and regulations of the religious community are what kept a woman who was already sick, what kept her isolated for 12 years. It was only grace and mercy and compassion that could restore her to community. The community's fear kept her separated from them. Fear keeps us separate from each other. But Jesus calls us to act not out of fear, but out of love. Several years ago, I was stopped in traffic, and I saw a bumper sticker on the car in front of me, and it read, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. And I've since learned that that quote's been attributed to Mahatma Gandhi, but clearly the person in the car in front of me believed it. I think a huge problem today is that some people have been so turned off by some Christians, or the church is such an alien experience to people, they don't even get an opportunity to experience Christ, to know Jesus and his way of compassion and mercy for them and for us and for this world. When we look at our gospel reading today, there's this urgency all through it. Jairus has this urgency for his daughter to be healed. The woman has this urgency for herself to be healed. But there's also an urgency in our world today that we who follow Jesus, that we follow more fully, that we experience and extend the compassion of Christ right now, that we walk the way of Jesus right now, because this world needs the life-giving way of Jesus right now. So how are we each listening for Jesus today and every day? What are some ways we might intentionally be following Jesus more fully today and every day? What's one way we might each grow in our listening and our following for ourselves and for the sake of the people around us? In all that's happening in the world, maybe we need to talk less about what we hate and fear and talk more, focus more on this one we love, on Jesus, and seek to live as he calls us, with his mercy and his compassion, today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.